Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the privilege of coming today to celebrate this Mass and hearing your word. And we pray that it would not return to you void, but accomplish all it's been sent to do in our hearts. And we pray especially in light of the opening prayer that we continue to grow in faith, hope, and charity. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So it was very refreshing when Jesus came on the scene because the people were weary and experiencing all kinds of problems personally as a society. And he came and cut them to the heart with his words of truth and teaching and gave them the essence of their faith to love God with your whole mind, soul, and being, and to love your neighbors yourself. Everything is founded on that. And we need to go back to that as well, because everything we do as Catholic Christians is founded on that, loving God and loving people. All of our sacraments, our teachings, it's all about us reaching our full maturity as followers of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to share a few things that I believe can help us grow in the Great Commandment and stay focused. And the first is, you know, we need sound teaching and doctrine in our church. People who are anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit, who preach with conviction. And I can say in my own life, you know, having grown up as a Catholic, you know, with my CCD classes, not all of the teachers were anointed in the Holy Spirit. Some were very nice people. Maybe they weren't so gifted in teaching. I think it takes a special gift to be a teacher. It's not just everyone can teach. And I've been to conferences and had classes where you just know the person who's sharing the teaching with you really believes it, and they speak with authority. Remember, it says that in the Bible, you know, that Jesus taught with authority, unlike the scribes and Pharisees. First, because he was the truth, he is the truth, but he was operating in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray for that. And when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it said he cut them to the heart. We're surrounded by so many words and advertisements and things that really lead nowhere and are empty and superficial. And to be able to cut people to the heart and really talk about what's of great importance in our world today, we really need that. And the church needs to lead the way. So we pray for all of our catechists and teachers and our Catholic institutions and in our parishes to be anointed in the power of the Holy Spirit and to really believe what they're teaching and to use personal examples to draw people into that experience. It said this in the second reading, you know, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction. Even if things are rough around us, the word of God can get inside of us and convict us with joy from the Holy Spirit. So that you became a model for all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And it says, too, that in order to do this, you need to know the word of God and the power of God. In the preceding chapter, in the preceding paragraph in this chapter, Jesus silenced the Sadducees because they came to him and tested him with that question, you know, teacher. A brother was married and didn't raise up any descendants and then married again, and all these the other brothers died. Whose wife will she be at the end times or in heaven? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said, you are greatly misled. You do not know the power of God and you do not know the scriptures. And that's why I'm always trying to say, get into God's word. It will strengthen you and guide you and help support you in being able to speak the truth in love. And that's why we're doing our Bible study, and we're just surrounded by scripture, but it has to get inside here. Amen? Amen. We don't want it to return to God void. So sound teaching and doctrine. And we're warned by St. Paul in his letter to Timothy, the time will come when people will no longer tolerate sound doctrine, but will gather people to tell them what they're itching to hear. We're there. Our world's there's so much unsound teaching and things going on, but the truth is available to us. When you seek him with your heart, you find the truth. The second thing is we always have to affirm the dignity of the human person. The first reading, wasn't that kind of funny? If you're not nice to the alien or the stranger, my wrath will rise up and I will kill you by the sword. But I'm a compassionate God. That's kind of one when I read that's like, I need to pray into that a little more. On the surface, that just kind of hit me as, huh? But as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you get understanding. He is a compassionate God, but he was warning the people to be kind to those who are fleeing violence and just looking for a better way of life, which we have to do. And, you know, the whole reality of our immigration system, it is very broken, and people are trying to meet these needs, and there's just a lot of bad things going on with all of that. But the bottom line is when someone's in front of us, it doesn't matter what culture they're from, what language they speak, their skin color, they're a child of God. And we have to do everything in our power to affirm that by the way we treat them. Amen? You can be frustrated with all the things around us that we can't control, but we can control our conduct and how we treat people that come into our presence, who come into our parish. If you attended the listening sessions, the one thing that came out very clear was how proud people are of St. Thomas, that it's so diverse. It's not just one culture or race, it's Catholic. Catholic means universal, right? And people like that. It's like, oh, we're all part of God's family. Isn't that great? But there are practical frustrations that I face. You know, my Spanish, not very good. I've been asking for 26 years for an opportunity to increase my Spanish. I haven't received one. I even went to the Archbishop Sard when I was getting my assignment for St. Thomas, and then we had Our Lady of Lourdes. And I was on drugs. I was on oxycodone, recovering from my second rotator cuff surgery. So I said, if you want me to continue doing Hispanic ministry, then I want to get better at it. I felt like I'm in kindergarten with my vocabulary. I want a tutor, and you're going to pay for it. And I pointed to him, like, what am I doing? But he agreed to it. He said, okay, I'll pay for a tutor. We had it all set up, and someone squashed the plan. So I'm still watching Univision and slowing it down and trying to learn. And the people are so kind. They say they understand me. I sometimes have my doubts. But the bottom line, what I've figured out is do the best you can. Amen? We're doing the best we can, but sometimes you just have these moments of incredible frustration. Like, ugh. Where's my dictionary when I need it? The last thing is that we have to address trauma and woundedness in our life. When we don't address that, the enemy oppresses us, and we start to just kind of sink, and our thinking becomes very clouded, very irrational, sometimes very sinful. We think about other people in a very negative way because we're hurt. And this is why the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. And I'm a big advocate of the John Paul II Healing Institute. I haven't talked about it for a while, but I just signed up for a retreat for priests in January in Florida. And it's right after my dad's anniversary of his death, the first year anniversary, and I thought, you know, I need some healing, not just for that, but just for other things that have gone on. And it's a 5-day retreat for priests. I was up at 6 in the morning, the first one to sign up, because I know they sold out, and they sold out later that day. But I was there clicking on my little keyboard, and I got to sign up for this because I know that I need healing in my life. We all need healing. And when we don't open ourselves to it, we shut down, and we can't love God, and we can't love people. Sometimes we're looking for love in all the wrong places, like that Mickey Kelly song years ago. And sometimes, you know, even in our families, a spouse may not be attentive to your needs as the other spouse because they're not doing it on purpose. They're just overwhelmed with life. You know, they're having their own struggles and they can't be present to you. The Lord is always present to us. He never abandons us. And sometimes we look around all these places for support and affirmation, and he's just saying, come away with me to a quiet place and I'll build you back up, right? So we need to address trauma and healing in our lives because it makes us sick and oppressed, and the enemy just gets a foothold there. And then we run to our idols for comfort, and we just keep going down further and further. And the Lord is saying, hey, I'm knocking at the door. I want to come in and help you. You just got to open the door and let me in. Amen? Found something I thought was very inspirational about keeping our focus and not being distracted or getting depressed or overwhelmed by all the crazy things going on in the world right now. And this is from Jesus Today, I gave away my hardbound edition to somebody I thought needed it, but I've got my Kindle version here, and I can copy and paste this particular version. So I hope this affirms you this week, no matter what challenges are going on in your life, that God is with you and we can control our thinking. I don't have to go down that path when I start thinking negatively about something. The world abounds with negative things to think about. Sometimes problems, yours or others, seem to shout for your attention. They can occupy more and more of your thinking, causing you to become weary and discouraged in your soul. But remember, you can choose the subject of your thoughts. Cry out to me and I will help you. Turn toward me, letting my light shine upon you. Do not be defeated by wrong choices you have made in the past. And don't let past decisions define who you are in the present. Each moment provides a fresh opportunity to draw near me and enjoy my presence. One way to do this is to pray, Jesus, I choose to seek you in the midst of my problems. Refuse to get discouraged, even if you have to say this hundreds of times daily. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You can find peace in me. And so as Catholics, you know, this lady's not Catholic, but I love that. Jesus, I choose to seek you in the present, in the midst of my problems. For me, it's the Divine Mercy, which is on my watch. Jesus, I trust in you. And sometimes I say that 30 times a day if it's a tough day. And eventually it starts to sink in my mind. I don't have to go down this path. He's with me. He loves me. He's going to help me through this difficult moment. Jesus, I trust in you. So simple, yet so powerful. Amen?